Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
You're good?
All right.
Do you hear my jacket crunching around? Should I? That's distracting, I can imagine.
All right.
Ready? I'm Dan Nalen, and this is the Sound Waves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. We are coming to you, not quite live, from our subterranean Jeanette Moses recording studio. It's a little frosty, but we have great stuff for you this episode. We have cab rails in the house. We're going to talk to Yelp's Jeffrey Stedman about all the great Thai restaurants in town. And we have performance artist Joey Arias interviewed by our own Princess Kennedy. Cab Rails are a ski and snowboard rail construction company based right here in Salt Lake City, and the company was formed by a bunch of guys, about 10 years ago, who started making rails right out of their own backyards, out of a giant skate ramp. The company has grown to design obstacles and courses for resorts and professional competitions all over the world, as well as seasonal events and celebrations. Slug writer Tim Cronenberg, who just happens to be a terrain park ranger at Brighton, spoke with the co-founder of the company, Jared Rinkler, about all the company has to offer.
Why don't you start off telling me a little bit about who you are, what you do? We know you work for Cab. What else do you do in your free time?
Yes, I am one of the owners. Me and Steve Duke own Cab Rails. We started Cab Rails probably officially in 2004, but we've been building rails since the late 90s. I like to weld, and I like to build stuff.
Who buys Cab Rails?
People who buy Cab Rails are mainly ski resorts. Sometimes we get a few private people who buy them. Kind of a list of our local Utah clients would be like Powder Mountain, Brighton, The Canyons, Sundance, Solitude has some. We've sold rails to Park City, but not in the past couple years, but I'm sure there's still plenty of them up there. Just kind of everyone we possibly can.
Who's making the biggest orders right now, and how many features do you guys expect to make for a season or so?
Some of our biggest accounts is probably the Canyons or Brighton, and those two do the most from us. Obviously a Mouse at Brighton builds a lot of stuff at Brighton with Cab Rails, ideas and things backing him. But and then the Canyons, they have plenty of stuff up there.
Are you guys pretty busy during the summer at all too, or is it just a winter kind of a gig?
Cab Rails is the busiest in the fall. Summertime, right after the end of the season, we do make some stuff for Wendell's camp up in Oregon. And then after that job's usually done, we kind of play around, go fishing and camping and get ready for the next winter.
You've also done a lot for some competitions in Salt Lake City. Can you name me some of those competitions and tell me a little bit about what you guys did for them?
Yeah, no problem. Ever since Cab was started, we've definitely stayed involved with terrain park competitions and with resorts and with off-site, like say single brand event. Some of the funner brands we work with is like Red Bull and Skullcandy, and then also even Nike. One of our most recent big events was the Nike Chosen Tour, and that was at the Energy Solutions Arena. Well, we've been part of the Slug Games ever since they started, coming from Junkyard Jams to everything else, so it's been a lot of fun to get involved with that year after year.
You've made some features for a few pro snowboarders. Can you tell me about who and what you have built for them?
For example, like we built stuff years back for like Chris Engelsman, and that kind of helped get us started. And his infamous when first all four 270s onto the same rail up at Mount Hood, we built those rails for him, and that was kind of fun, a project he came up with. And then just, we have stuff for like Derek Dennison and Alex Andrews and just a bunch of other buddies who, we're willing to, at least, if they buy the metal, build them something real quick and let them do what they want to do with it.
Is most of that up at the Bone Zone right now, or is it just scattered around Utah?
I would imagine those guys have their features just all over the place.
Rail Gardens in Salt Lake City just got a high cascade rail. Is Cab next?
I don't think that rail is going to last there very long, but, we've definitely done our charity work. That rail, that's a cool thing that Ted was able to take that from summer camp and be able to put it in on a public park, but I don't think it's going to last. Because once the snow melts, the park, some rec people will probably think of it as junk, so I'm sure somebody will take it out before then.
What's next for CAB? Any big projects coming up?
Not much coming on right now. We're just excited to wait for some powder days and go shred.
You guys got your orders filled, and now it's time to play.
Yeah, we're all caught up. Just a few small orders coming in and out of here that we can handle, and so our main focus is working at the ski resorts.
What's the awesomest, craziest thing you've ever had to build?
The craziest thing we ever had to build probably was a mobile trailer that turned into a jib that then had drop-ins and everything, and it could be toured around the whole United States, and that was with DNA outerwear.
Oh, wow.
And it was a pretty cool setup.
At CAB?
The people who work at CAB Rails are both the owners, me and Steve. I like to do all the sales and kind of just, let Steve do all the operations type stuff, get the materials going to make sure the people are there to work. But then we also have a guy named Chad Joyce. Nobody really knows him.
Top secret man.
Secret guy. Then we need a Mouse and Mike Duke. And then, there's a few park guys from the Brighton Park crew who will help out on bigger projects, and also a park crew from the Canyons Train Park crew will help out on some large projects and, make a little extra cash for fun.
All right, right on. Anything you guys have especially wanted to make that you haven't yet had the opportunity to build?
I don't know. We've definitely, over the years, got to experiment with a lot of different shapes and designs and different things, but, I've always thought it'd be cool to build multiple S box or something really big and crazy.
Multiple S box.
Yeah, so it's like super wavy box.
So you guys have been around for a while. Where's the Gucci and the international fame? Are you guys just trying to keep it fun?
We just try to keep it on the DL. We're just mellow guys who like to ski, snowboard, and that's about it.
Not trying to go pro?
No.
Summer months are pretty quiet. Are you guys trying to fill orders in the summer, or are you just liking what you're doing right now?
We're just pretty content with how it goes right now. Steve, my partner, builds a bike park at the Canyons, so he's doing downhill mountain bike parks, and, me, I work at Brighton doing marketing, and so we stay busy, and our crews, they get a little bit of time off to enjoy the summer with their friends and family.
What time of year do you guys expect usually to get a lot of orders coming in?
Our busy time is, like August, September, and then we start picking up throughout October and November, and then hopefully if dies out by January, we can get back to just, our normal gigs.
All right. What do you think CAB has brought to action sports and its people?
Yeah, no, I think both with the growing and with terrain parks nationwide, we've done the best we can to help influence other terrain park managers to build quality, safe features, and to also keep challenging themselves to build bigger, better, and go for it.
Are you guys accepting any orders from interested listeners, or are you guys...
Oh yeah, we're always willing to make stuff for people. The tough part is since we build high quality features, the price is affordable, but at the same time for a privateer or your backyard terrain park, it's almost easier for you to find something that you can just turn into a jib instead of paying us to do it, because we have to pay overhead and wages and insurance and all that other stuff. So unfortunately, when you're a legit business, there's those added on legit fees.
For more information about CAB Rails, visit their website at cabrails.com, and that's cabrails.com. Drew Danbury is a long-running folk pop singer-songwriter in the Utah scene. He's been around, almost 10 years, producing 9 albums, several singles over the years. His last album, Goodnight Danny, was released in 2010, and after that, he actually kind of got away from music and opened up a barbershop on University Avenue in Provo. Just last month, he released a brand new EP to the surprise of many people who thought he was out of the music game. It's called The First Pillar, and we're going to play a track from that called Jennifer Connelly, or Fools Mock, But They Shall Mourn, off of Drew Danbury's brand new EP.
Love what we don't know at all. The girl we barely talk to mock. Our hope and ignorance, I feel like that's where we find bliss. Surety, a sense of pride, where we know what's right. As we grow so tall. Our confidence, a waterfall. A never-ending stream of dirt. Full of gossip, assumption. Some glass requires work, but to do what's easy,
the album, and to get more information on Danbury's latest music, visit him online at drewdanbury.com. And for more information about his barbershop, check him out at danburybarber.blogspot.com. We are here once again with Jeffrey Stedman, our regular visitor from Yelp, Utah, and we are delving into, a part of our food scene that has really blossomed over the last few years to a really amazing degree, considering where we were 10 years ago, and there was probably zero Thai food outlets. Welcome, Jeffrey, and
thank you.
Very excited to check this out. We got lots of good Thai stuff to talk about.
Oh, my goodness. You're absolutely right. I mean, I remember the first time I had Thai food was probably 10 years ago. And there was like a handful of places to choose from, maybe like 3. And now, I mean, I just wrote an issue. I write a weekly newsletter called The Weekly Yelp. I wrote one that just came out, and it was about like either new places or places that have moved. It wasn't even about like, hey, here's a comprehensive look, because there's
right.
no way.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
they're
way.
All over the place, which is great. I love Thai food, so
Me
I'm
too.
Glad to be talking
Me
about
too.
It.
Me too. Well, what are the Yelp readers, where do they gravitate towards so far?
Well, you know, we were just talking about, we're going with the first one we're going to talk about at 278 East, 900 South. Dan, do you want to tell us what it's called?
I'm calling it Shannon Thai.
Yeah.
I could be butchering the pronunciation. I've eaten there. It is delicious. I know where it is. I know what the sign looks like, but I'm going to go with Shannon Thai.
Okay, Shannon Thai. Truth be told, I have not eaten there, so I'm going to defer to Andrea C. First of all, before I say I haven't eaten there, it's not because I don't want to. It's just there's so many Thai places, yeah. And Shannon was like, you know.
I challenge anyone out there to eat at every Thai restaurant,
yeah, exactly,
in this valley.
Exactly. It has 133 reviews, 4 out of 5 stars, so, you know, I've just been exploring some of the more like strip mall, hole in the wall places. But anyway, Andrea C says, if you love Thai food, eat here. If you don't love Thai food, still eat here because it's phenomenal. Try the Masaman curry, the Pad Phik Prao, or Geng Kari. Actually, try it all because you won't be let down. That's the Andrea C.
133 reviews just speaks for itself in a way,
pretty well
That's
vetted.
A lot of people. And I will say this to anyone who hasn't been there, it's small.
Yes.
So be prepared for a tight fit if you roll in with like 8 people. You might be taking up half the joint, but it's damn good.
Yeah, if you need a little bit more room, head up to Sawadi Thai, 754 East South Temple, 3.5 out of 5. 97 reviews. Jessica Z says she's tried the Masaman curry, tempura vegetables, fried bananas, and praram with peanut sauce. I went there on my birthday with a group of 15. And they were so fast and gave me free fried bananas and sang to me. It's just like a friendly, take care of you kind of place. And it's a big place. From big, maybe we'll go back to small.
Yeah.
To teeny.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny.
A little dainty.
Ekamai, 336 West, 300 South, just north of Pioneer Park, next to Bruges. 4 out of 5 after 51 reviews. Speaking of names that I'm going to butcher, Jin Miao L says...
Well done.
Small, chic restaurant. Yummy food comes with affordable price. You can try samples before you pick your curry. Oh. Affordable, tasty food, plus friendly service, plus nice environment, equals a win-win situation.
Math. That's win-win-win.
That's right.
And free samples of curry, I may have just found a place I'm going to just go lurk.
Well, yeah, come in with a different mustache every time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they let you try it. The rice is purple, so that's kind of different. It's very cool. Very kind of trendy and a teeny little place to duck into. Great, like, for lunch if you're just picking something up.
Great spot when the farmer's market's going. You can pop over for something tasty. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's it. Wanted to talk about a couple of restaurants, sister restaurants, Shabar and Tea Rose Diner. Shabar in Midvale, 87 West, 72nd South. Shabar, Tea Rose in Murray, 65 East, 5th Avenue. Both 4 out of 5, the earlier 39, the latter 63 reviews. Mm. This is, you order your stuff here on a heat scale of 1 to 10.
Oh.
They will not allow you to have a 10 until you've signed a waiver and completed a bowl of 7. We went there. We had a Yelp event there. We decided to start at a 0 and work our way up. I made it through 6 and almost died that night.
Whoa.
And then almost died again the next day. Okay, I'm leaving it there, but
purely based on the spice, not the quality of the goods.
You know what? It's a really, really, really good Thai food. They make their own ice cream there.
Whoa.
It's also American food. So if you have friends who don't like Thai,
you gotta... has a kind of. I've been there, and I thought it was like, oh, I'm gonna go in and get a little diner breakfast. Then you roll in, and you're like, well, they have this amazing Thai menu going on too.
Absolutely. Annie and her husband do a terrific job. I've been to Shabar a couple of times. Shabar. Just go in and tell her, like, just hook me up. And she makes this amazing curry puff, like curry pot pie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? With curry and rice in it. Call ahead and order that if you're going to go. It does take a little bit of time to come out of the kitchen. But
nice.
Some great, great dishes. Another dish I want to talk about, maybe not so much restaurant. My favorite Thai dish is called khao soi. And it's like a curry, the best way I can describe it is like a curry, people make it different ways, like a curry ramen maybe, or a curry, I usually throw chicken in there, and it's served in a bowl most of the time. Andaman Kitchen is my favorite, heads and shoulders above the rest when it comes to the khao soi. Andaman Kitchen, about 94th South and 7th East.
Nice.
Sala Thai, right next to Bruvies, they also make it, and Tea Rose makes it. Each one of those, I've had the owner tell me that they're the only one in town that makes khao soi. So I'm sorry to break the news to everyone if you're listening, but...
There are so many Thai restaurants out there, they can't even keep track of themselves
anymore.
No, absolutely,
but this dish, if you ever find it on a menu, get it. It's curry, it's noodles, you know, depending
on the
different stuff, the vegetables and stuff they throw in, and I get it with chicken, it's really, really good.
That sounds great.
And then one other place I wanted to shout out that's kind of obscure, New Thai Cafe, 4.5 out of 5, 19 reviews, out in West Jordan, 2653 West, 7800 South, really solid, basic menu... really big portions, really friendly people who run the place, and just a great like little strip mall place to get your Thai food fix when you need it.
Another example of how diverse the offerings are coming out in what we would call the suburbs of Salt Lake City,
right?
Like,
no, it's out there. Yeah, Thai Delight, 62nd South in Bangor, has 4.5 out of 5 out of 30 reviews. If you go there, get the Tom Kha Gai, that soup, everyone shouts it out over there at Thai Delight. And that's one of the highest rated Thai places in Salt Lake. And then just to run down a few changes and things, like I said, I just wrote about this in the Weekly Yelp. A few things that are either new or have moved. Bon Appetit, 41 West, 33rd South.
Clever.
We have a great talk thread on Yelp about really bad
names
for Thai restaurants. Right? Tie Me Up.
As long as the food's good, that's all that matters. Tie Me Up, that's great.
Bon Appetit is where Little Dave's used to be.
Oh, okay.
Thai Aroi D opened last year, not to be confused with Aroi D Thai Cuisine in Ogden. This is not affiliated. 271 West, 900 South. Akamai opened their second location in Sugar House across from the park, 1405 East, 2100 South.
Awesome.
High Note Thai Cuisine moved to 80th South and 7th East in Sandy, and Thai Garden at 4410 South 9th East is now Siam Orchid Thai Cuisine.
The Thai and their orchids. Oh. You find orchid in a lot of these things.
Siam, Bangkok, orchid, any of that kind of stuff.
And we didn't even talk about Thai Siam, another one that I'm a fan of on State Street around 13th near the Apple Store. Not the official Apple Store, the Mac Store, I should say. The illicit Mac Store.
Well, that's the thing with Thai food is it's become so prolific. I feel like Thai and sushi over the last 5 to 8 years have been the things that really have blown up in Salt Lake
City. Hitting critical mass, maybe not,
you
I guess.
Think?
I guess the more people that get turned onto it, the more they realize, there's a strip mall in need of another Thai place.
Well, I welcome it.
I do too.
There's room enough on this planet. Nothing better than a great Thai neighborhood joint. But there are so many places that I really am grateful for all the Yelpers out there who write reviews of these places in their neighborhood, who shout out really great Thai food places and other kind of places that I just wouldn't even know about if I couldn't get on Yelp and look at it. So
absolutely. Well, thank you so much once again. I really appreciate you coming in. And as always, awesome information. You'll definitely want to follow them on Twitter at Yelp Utah and hit yelp.com/Salt Lake City to get all the latest. You can cruise and do your own reviews and maybe be that 100th review of Sawadee perhaps and see what happens. Roll the dice. Jeffrey, thank you. We will see you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
You betcha. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week of February 26th through March 4th. Yes, unbelievably, we're already into March. As always, you'll want to go to slugmag.com and check out our listings. They are updated, constantly. Always new stuff going up there. You'll want to check it out. And of course, if you want to add your own events, that is free. Just hop onto the website, submit them, and they are there. If you want to add some quality extra content, you can do that for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year. This week, we have, all kinds of crazy things. Mickey Hart Band, all the Deadheads of the World Unite. They are playing on February 26th at the Depot, so get your dreads in order and get down to the Depot for that one. The same night, all of our metal-leaning friends will enjoy a trip to In the Venue, where a lot of old-school Bay Area bands are playing. Testament is the headliner. They are joined by Flotsam and Jetsam and Overkill. That will be a seriously heavy and wonderful show at In the Venue. I saw Testament last time they came through town at the Depot, actually, and it was big fun to hear Chuck Billy and all those guys really get after it once again. On Thursday, February 28th, a little reggae up at Park City Live, Israel Vibration, along with the Roots Radix. Always a good time up there. And down here at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, Plan B Theater Company is opening its latest play, Erica. That should be an interesting one. That runs through March 10th. On Friday, March 1st, brand new issue of Slug hitting the streets, so you'll want to pick that up, and a whole lot of good shows that night. Over at Kilby Court, Darwin Dees is the headliner, and he's joined by Caged Animals and Hang Time. A little power pop for you there. Local showcase at the State Room on the 1st of March. The Jingos, Totem and Taboo, and Danger Hailstorm. A little rare all-local treat at the State Room, so that should be a good one. And Color Animal, recently featured right here on the Soundwaves from the Underground. They are headlining at the Woodshed on March 1st. And on March 2nd, Passion Pit, a band who had to cancel from the Twilight Concert Series last summer. They are coming back around for what's sure to be a great show at the Complex. They are joined by Matt and Kim, one of my most fun, favorite poppy little bands. Also on Saturday, March 2nd, Menomina coming back through town. Portland, great band. They are playing at Urban Lounge. That should be a real treat. Once again, that's your weekly daily calendar. Make sure to check slugmag.com on a daily basis to find out the latest things happening all over this great town of ours. You know, Spy Hop is one of the really great organizations this town has to offer. It's an after-school program that lets kids really get into music, artwork, filmmaking, all kinds of things. One of the great things they do is Spy Hop Records, and Sam Burton is a singer-songwriter who has come out of that little record shop there. He's been releasing music through the independent Spy Hop record label since 2009, and he's stuck with them now that he's in his early 20s. Recently, he recorded 4 brand new songs for Spy Hop's 801 Session series, which is also featured on KCPD. Sounds from the Lounge show. This is a song called Sinking Ship from the live Spy Hop 801 Sessions album. Information on Sam Burton and the other bands and artists available through Spy Hop Records, visit them online at spyhop.org/spyhoprecords. For the uninitiated, Joey Arias is one of New York's longest-working performance artists. His career really blossomed in the late 70s in the East Village when he performed at all of your high-profile clubs down there. Nightlife exploded in the 80s, and so did Arias's career. His credits include, among other things, singing backup for David Bowie. That's pretty damn cool. The world's most famous Billie Holiday impersonator for a while. That's not too shabby either. And he was also the lead in Cirque du Soleil's Zumanity show, which is pretty damn impressive. He's also appeared in iconic pop culture films like Pee-wee's Big Top and Mondo New York. More recently, Arias has started performing a tribute to one of his fellow New York performance artists, Klaus Nomi, and he is bringing that show right here to town pretty soon. Slug columnist Princess Kennedy chatted with Arias over the phone about his career and the show coming up.
How's it going, baby?
I'm good.
Good. Busy, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
You just did something last weekend.
Yeah. I do Joe's Pub every Sunday.
Oh, nice.
And I prepare as, like, you know, this week is going to be more back to my Billy. You know, last week was all about, I called it a power set.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of material I've never sang before, and working with musicians I've never worked with before.
And there was a lot involved. This was Billy material?
This time it's going to be back to him, going back to my roots.
Yeah. Tell us what that means.
Going back to your roots is like what inspires you. What is the bulb that you plant in the ground that makes the flower grow? I'm just, you know, I could be going off doing this, that, but I always come back and return to doing, you know, channeling Billy and singing those old songs in that beautiful style.
Yes, that is a beautiful style. You've been doing Billie Holiday for how long now?
I've been channeling the Billy feeling since, God, for years, but not officially till like 1988 or 89 or something like that.
Awesome. And I mean, there was a whole lot going on. When did you start? It was in the 80s that you started performance, right?
No, seriously. I'm originally from North Carolina, and then an army child, and then they moved to Los Angeles when I was like 6 years old. At the age of 13 or 14, I think, whatever, I got signed to Capitol Records with a teen band.
Oh my gosh, what was it called?
Pearlie, P-U-R-L-I-E.
And what was your sound?
The sound was, this is like before Devo was Devo.
Oh my gosh, I love
it. This is like way before, so it was so out there that people were so blown away. So, but the song itself was very commercial and very cute, and the song called Burgerette. And so it was very pop and everyone loved it, but then when they came and saw the show, they were like, wait a minute, there's Burgerette, but wait a minute, what's the other stuff? This is like totally over the top. And so after a year and touring and whatever, they were like, we don't know what to do with you guys, this is too crazy. And so I had joined the Groundlings, the improv group, and then I finally just like blew out of town and came to New York and said, can we start all over again?
And how long were you in New York before you met Klaus Nomi?
I was in New York. I met Klaus within 24 hours of my first stepping into New York.
Oh, tell me about the meeting. How did you meet?
I was at a luncheon at my friend's house, Bo Allen, and he invited some friends, and then one of the people that was there, her name was Katie Kay.
Katie Kay, of course.
And so she was there, and she was like, I was just blown away by her originality, and she had like a 50s Hawaiian dress on, and her hair piled up, and I was just like, wow, you're incredible. And we were laughing and talking, and then after the luncheon, everyone kind of split, and I said, Katie goes, you want to come downtown with me? And I was like, sure. So we took a taxi down. I had not been in a train yet, but anyway, came to her home, which now is my home, and so I was looking at a painting on the wall, and I said, this is a great drawing. She goes, oh, that's from my friend Klaus Sperber. He's an opera singer and a baker. And I said, God, this is like a great drawing. And she goes, but that's him. I said, oh, he looks so strange. But it was not Klaus Nomi. It was not that look. It was just like this little doll thing he did.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, he's a great guy. We love him a lot. So after we had some coffee here, we went outside. We're walking on 10th Street going towards Broadway. And she goes, lo and behold, there's Klaus right there. And Klaus was wearing chinos and a Brooks Brothers pinstripe pink and white shirt with penny loafers and a fedora and aviator sunglasses. And he's like, oh, hello. She goes, this is my friend Joey. Just moved to New York. Oh, hi, how are you? I said, he goes, oh, I'm going to go with something because I'm doing this baking for something that is up. He says, let's get together and have some cookies and coffee. And I was like, sure, let's do that. So that was probably on a Thursday, I don't know, Tuesday or something. And I met him on a Saturday, and he had made all these cookies and stuff, and we sat there and we talked. And that was the beginning of our friendship.
Nice.
And we just got closer and closer
and closer. Time that you saw him perform?
Dude, you know, he was singing opera. Mm-hmm. So I go to the church where he's performing, and, you know, he just wore, like, you know, a shirt and pants, and his hair slicked back, and would sing these arias. And so, you know, Klaus Sperber at a church singing Ave Maria, whatever.
And then
but
you
it
got,
wasn't living like Klaus know me. And then it wasn't until the New Wave Vaudeville show.
And that was at Club 57?
No, that was at the Irving Plaza.
Oh, okay.
Irving Plaza, it ran for like 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
Like three weekends. Anyway, so there, I was watching this one and that one. It was like this whole crazy vaudevillian show. It was before 57. And so all of a sudden, David McDermott comes out and goes, "And now, ladies and gentlemen, the next act you're about to see is real singing. Blah, 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 blah. Please welcome this alien, Klaus Nomi." And we were all going, "Klaus Nomi? What the fuck is that?" And then, you know, he came out with a plastic cape and sang the aria. We were all like, "Oh my God, that's incredible!"
It was incredible.
And then after that, I was just shocked. And so then he'd done a couple of gigs in some of the clubs, like sang the aria. And it was Christian Hoffman who put a band together to do Max's Kansas City. And Klaus was completely freaking out. And so I got Kenny Sharp. We were all doing a little party together, and Kenny joined me, and we joined him on the stage. And one thing led to the other, and that was the beginning of it.
That's awesome. And
I was back on stage singing again.
And how much longer after that were you picked up for Bowie to do this SNL?
That probably started in 78. Then we started. That's when the gig started happening. And that's so 1979.
Nice. And Kristen Hoffman is who you're going to be coming here with to Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your tour. So you're doing a tribute to Klaus Nomi, is that correct?
Well, it's kind of like a little bit, of course, it's the songwriting skills of Kristen Hoffman.
Oh, I see, okay.
And he wrote all the songs.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing the Nomi songs. Maybe we're going to do a couple of original songs. Of course, some Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So that's a good hour and a half program.
Nice.
So there might be surprises as we're going along there, but right now we've got that set list, and if anything else happens on the way, we'll see. That's what we're calling it, lightning strikes, because you never know how it's going to hit. You know?
Right. And with as many tours, maybe it won't strike twice. Maybe we'll get something special.
Hello, definitely.
We're very excited for you to come out to Salt Lake City. Have you been here before?
I was there. I was talking to somebody, like, I think in 2000 or 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Who's this man? He's like the richest man in Salt Lake City. He discovered Microsoft or something.
Somebody, I don't know.
His name is Michael Harsh, or I don't know, something, whatever. But anyway, he used to come to Bardot with our friend Marilyn.
Oh, we love Bardot. Oh, Marilyn Nelson, who lives here.
Yeah, Marilyn Nelson would come to Bardot. And so she brought him this, you know, quirky man and some friends, and he came a couple times and really loved us. And when it was his birthday in Salt Lake City, he requested that it would be Raven and I and Chaka Khan.
Oh my God. Why didn't I live here then?
I know, right? And it was a private party, and it was like over the top.
Wow.
A dinner party for like 100 people. It was probably like at least maybe $1,000 plate per person. It was really insane.
Arias will be bringing his show to Salt Lake City on Thursday, February 28th at the Urban Lounge. For more information on his tour and performances, check him out online at joeyarias.com. Once again, thank you for listening to the Soundwaves from the Underground podcast. And for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us at slugmag.com and do it on a regular basis. Mike Riedel, our beer writer, will be joining us in the Soundwave studio again in just a few weeks to talk about the latest beer news around town. And we'd like to hear your questions for Mike and what you're most curious about happening in the local brewing scene. You can either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858 858- 233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hit us up with a great question for Mike about anything beer-related. We just might play your question on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. Executive producer is Angela Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. The main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and the technical design by Kate Colgan. Next week, you'll definitely want to fire us up once again. Breath Advisor, the company that does those cool little breathalyzer tests in the bars, they'll be in the house to talk about their products. Sugar House Barbecue is going to come in and talk about their recent issues with the new trolley line going through Sugar House, among other things. And we'll be talking spring movies with our own Jimmy Martin. Thanks a lot for listening. We will catch you next week.